Today's reading is from Genesis. The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son, whom Sarah bore him, and Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now Sarah said, God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham had a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son, Isaac. So she said to Abraham, cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac. The matter was very distressing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not be distressed because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named after you. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation of him also, because he is your offspring. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him, a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, do not let me look on the death of the child. And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Dear friends, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
So before I pray,
hello? There we go. I'm in the pulpit again here. And last time I was here, I fell out of it. And I fell on this wall. If you remember, it was really gracefully done in the middle of my sermon, and I fell on a little candle thing. Yes, I did fall. It wasn't like dance. Somebody said it looks like I was just doing beautiful gestures. But thank you to Lee Martinson, I will not fall out of this pulpit again, because I am standing on a very sturdy block of wood. I am so thrilled. Thank you so much for that. So will you please pray with me? Gracious God, when life is hard or when life is messy or even sticky, help us to remember that your word is not for the tickling of ears, but for the transformation of lives. Amen. Well, this Genesis text is not to be candy-coated. It's actually a kind of a hard word to hear. Maybe you don't feel that way. I do. The story is sad. I mean, it's beautiful at the same time because they're children. Abraham and Sarah have waited 25 years for this baby. They name him Isaac. And they get a good laugh out of it, right? Because Isaac means laughter. Here they are, 175 years old, she's nursing a baby, and they're like, this is crazy. This is hilarious. Look what God has done for us. Hagar sees them. Now she is a slave. That's hard for us to imagine modern day people to have a handmaid like this. But she does not own property. She is owned. She does what she is told. And she's laughing at this new mom at 75 years old. Sarah's probably older than Hagar. And you just don't do that. Sarah gets mad and says, tell her to go away. Just send her away. This troubled Abraham, but God said, I'll take care of it. We're not to the point yet when God speaks to a nation. God is still speaking to individuals here. And God tells Abraham, I've got this. Hagar doesn't know that yet. She's in the wilderness with a baby with a water bottle and some bread. She's probably been told to go figure it out. Find your own way. I just don't care. It's an oh no situation. No more laughing with baby Isaac. It's death. A death sentence. For a woman who had no rights, no consent. And now she's alone with no property, money, a spouse, and she's told to take care of this baby in the desert of Bathsheba, where the only thing that waits for her is death. She places a baby under a bush and begins to sob, it says. It's not just a cry and a tear. It is a sob where your shoulders shake because you don't know what you're going to do next. When God hears her, God, we don't say that hope is a thing. For us as Christians, it's a person. It is God. God is hope. God cares for Hagar. This person that was disposable to Sarah. I don't care about you. She's just riffraff. My last call was in Lakeville, Minnesota. And the one thing I liked about Lakeville is that there was still some resemblance of countryside or farms. It's the fastest growing part of the metro. More people are moving out to Lakeville. Houses spring up where old farms used to be. And so one of the things that a mom wanted to do was to make sure our kids, our confirmation students, got to see what life was like in the hard part of the city. She said, what could we do? And I said, well, it's hard to do like retreats and overnights because kids are so booked out with things they need to do, which is all great and wonderful. I said, but the only time I can think of that kids are available, students in particular, is between 5 a.m. and 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning. Yep. So we started taking kids to Simpson Shelter. I have a long history with Simpson Shelter of feeding people who are in the shelter, and we would feed breakfast for about 30 to 50 students. And it's interesting because I would do it about 4 or 5 times a year to offer these slots for people. We take around 8 to 10 people, more than you need, really. And for every kid that signed up, a parent would come too. Because my Lakeville families had never served in a homeless shelter. They wanted to see what it was like. So after a couple months of doing this and posting on Facebook and putting things in the newsletter and sharing what these students are doing, I had a woman come up to me. And she came just periodically, maybe 2 or 3 times a semester. And I could see the finger going. She said, "Pastor Heather?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Do you know why people live in Lakeville?" And I said, "Well, it's beautiful here. St. John's is here. I'm here. Good schools." This is what she told me. She said, "People choose to live here because there are no apartment buildings." And I said, "What? What are you talking about?" She said, "I heard you are taking our kids into the city to serve. People move here to get away from that. People move to Lakeville because there's no apartment buildings," she told me. "We want nothing to do with that riffraff." And that is what she called people. She clicked her heels and turned away. It almost makes me cry now. She could care less about them. She didn't want her dollar spent on them. I cried. Hagar, too, she cried that day, watching her child wither away under a bush. But her eyes were then opened. God is hope entered her life. She saw water. He learned how to hunt. Ishmael became a great nation. You see, to God, people in this world are indisposable. To God, everyone has a purpose. Every person is lovable. And they are not riffraff. I never got a chance to talk to this woman again. I'm not someone who, like Pastor Maida, who can think really witty things on the top of her feet in a way to get that. I have to think things through. Anybody else like that? I have to think about it. And this is what I wish I would have told her. I wanted to know if she knew Sam, who actually had, he was at the corner of Target. And he was a World War II. He was a vet and held a sign, "We'll work for food." I met him one day when he was walking the Target parking lot in Lakeville. He has mental health issues. Does that make him riffraff? I thought about the time I sat around the table with the superintendent of schools in Lakeville who pulled the church leaders together, who talked about there were already 6 kids in Lakeville experiencing homelessness, and were asking the churches, "Is there anything you could do to house these children?" Are they riffraff? I thought about the mom who asked me to take kids into the city, and the reason why she wanted to do it, it's because she grew up in a homeless shelter herself. She has 3 sons now, and she wanted them to see and to talk to people how they end up there. God made people and called them good. Sometimes people just land in a hard place. Sometimes people get sick. Dear friends, I don't tell you these stories to make you feel bad. I'm telling you this so that you can remember who you are and what you're called to do. To do no harm, as somebody said this morning. To love one another. Because of the Holy Spirit, you are filled with God's love and God's hope. And when you see those uh-oh moments, I pray to God that you respond with hope, grace, and love. Amen.